This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to move Mickey Spagnuolo to 1140 today, but right now, it's time to go around. I mean, he was in on that decision. Sorry, it's y'all. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Now, I know following an NFL Sunday, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Believe it or not, I would like to start, if we can, by talking about Daniel Jones. So Daniel Jones has apparently become a hot commodity. Up to 10 teams have reached out to Daniel Jones, and at least one of them wants him to come in as the starter right now.
Oh, you know what? Vegas makes sense.
Hey, I could see that.
The Minshew just got hurt, and they were down to Desmond Ridder, and he's miserable.
He is not good.
First-round pick and not a drug addict, right? If you're,
he'll get another
if
shot.
If you're Johnny Manziel, the drugs eliminate your first-round pick.
Okay.
But when you're a first-round pick, it's just like, well,
I agree.
There's talent there, right? Where do we have him on our board? Like, that was 6 years ago. It doesn't matter. Where was he on the board? Like, well, we had him as a top-rated quarterback in that draft, or second-rated quarterback in that draft. I think Kyler Murray might have been.
And every team thinks they can fix what the other team couldn't, right?
Yeah, so like, what if we get him because this and that? So it's amazing. Once you're a first-round pick, as long as you don't do drugs on a consistent basis, you will get other opportunities.
So the Raiders are actually third on the betting odds.
Okay.
Care to take another shot at who might be ahead of them?
Ravens?
The Baltimore Ravens are number one on the list.
Now, they've tied Lamar.
Obviously,
he has lost four games this
obviously
year.
This would be a scenario in which he's not going to be the starter.
They're built for what? They're built for running.
Yeah.
And like
Daniel Jones can
and
run.
Not necessarily, like, I know can't Lamar pass. Jackson has that's some true. Downfield stuff, but Daniel Jones stinks at downfield passing, but he can run. And so Lamar Jackson, it's kind of a similar model because they know they could just put him back there and say, take off running, buddy.
So the top three go like this: Baltimore, Minnesota, Las Vegas.
Minnesota?
Of course, what gets fascinating after that is tied for fourth.
Dallas.
On the Daniel Jones likely destination front is the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys.
Bring them in.
Do you think this is why the website got hacked?
We have enough quarterbacks.
I'll tell you what.
It didn't get hacked.
What I would do to make sure this happens.
Hold on, Mike, real quick. Nick Harris was explaining this last Friday. It's a player card situation. The Cowboys have certain player cards on their website for use on the website, and it's not. That's what it was. I don't know why
it
was.
Again, Nick Harris used to work for the Cowboys, so maybe.
Of course he would be defending them. That makes sense.
I'm inclined to believe that.
Back to you, Mike.
2026 fourth round pick. I know that he's already a free agent and they released him. I'm just going to make sure I get him. I'm going to say, New York, pick him back up. We'll give you a fourth round pick to make sure we get him.
Oh, my God. We need to stop trading away what could potentially
Come
be
on.
Really high fourth round draft picks. So
bring him in right now so he can give us all the key plays for the Giants this Thursday.
And by the way, Daniel Jones, I guess, supposedly said he wants to go with a playoff contender.
He wants a contender, baby.
I was like, I guess.
Well, you don't want to go to an UFG. If you've been in the stinky situation of the Giants, you want to go to a place where you can win.
Fair. That is.
By watching the game.
Yeah, at least be part of, experience that a little bit. Now, you can walk away from it and go to another team and be like, man, I had the experience of being around a championship contender.
I know what it takes to win.
Yeah, I've seen it.
What is it, man? Because you are just on a great team. Don't play me.
Yeah, play the other guy.
That was the key to winning.
I don't know. Malik Nabers says that Daniel Jones was not the problem.
He was part of it.
I probably agree with that.
Malik
now,
Nabers says that, look, we still stunk out there.
We'll talk more about Saquon Barkley as we go along the show, but I just saw another statistic to add to it. Saquon Barkley is the first running back since Walter Payton in 1977 to have more than 500 yards of offense in two games, back-to-back.
Really?
Because obviously he had more than 300 in this game. If If you're a running back, honestly, if you're an NFL player and you get mentioned in the same class of Walter Payton, that's pretty damned impressive. And I keep looking at it, and I know they're talking about it. I know a quarterback always wins. Maybe we talk about this another day. How the hell is Saquon Barkley not at least in the conversation for MVP?
He should be.
He really should be.
I was very stuck on, I still thought you were going to say that he was the first running back since 1977.
No.
Like, I was like, oh my gosh.
Sherman Williams.
Yeah, I was like, there have been plenty of them.
That's another one. But yeah.
Alabama.
That's right. So Saquon Barkley has rocketed up the charts, but now he's about.
Go ahead.
I was going to say he's about fourth.
Okay.
Who would you think?
Bo Nix, Rookie of the Year. I said it last week. If you didn't bet on Bo Nix, you need to pick up your phone right now. Jaden Daniels is not winning Rookie of the Year.
So is that more of a, not that you don't like Bo Nix, but is that more of a reflection on your thoughts about Jaden Daniels right now as opposed to Bo Nix?
I think it's both. I mean, Jaden Daniels with 5 minutes to go would look like, I'm not sure if he should start in the NFL.
Against anything but an elite defense.
The last 5 minutes was, but I was just like, and then Bo Nix had a really good game, and we talked about this last week. I'm like, because you guys said that Bo Nix is in second, but it's a distant second.
But he's
and I'm assuming right now I would have Bo Nix as the favorite.
Okay, so I told you we talked about he was moving up, but he was still 6 to 8 to 1, depending on where you look. Hot off the presses, he is still second. However,
bet on him now.
Depending on which book you go to, he's between +110 and +150.
That stinks. That now it's almost even,
exactly.
Right?
But if I feel like you mentioned this last week, too, when he was still 6 to 8 to 1. And now I know Jaden Daniels is still a slight favorite, but man, it is getting close, close, close.
Mike asked all the football questions in this. Who do you give a better percentage of making the playoffs, Denver or Washington?
Right now, honestly, I think I might have shifted over to Denver because their defense is amazing. And Washington, you saw it again yesterday, because just like their offense struggled, the Cowboys' offensive run game is nothing to be excited about. And I know they didn't pile up the yards, but it seemed like they were able to move the ball and move the chains when they wanted to.
Denver's defense is elite.
Yes.
And Bo Nix and Cortland Sutton have found something, ladies and gentlemen. That looks nice. Bo Nix looks as comfortable as I've ever seen him. This year, and he's looked really good the last, what, five games now?
Sorry to take it off of Barkley.
No.
I was just thinking.
Let's go back to Barkley.
We'll probably talk about him more tomorrow.
It's still going to be tough, though, for him to really get votes away from Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
He's moved up to, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and there's one other person. Jared Goff is correct. So Saquon Barkley is another person, along with Bo Nix, that has rocketed up these rankings the last 2 weeks. Right now, he is fourth at most books in terms of Josh Allen 1, Lamar 2, Goff 3, Saquon 4, and then Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Well, really Mahomes.
I think because of the record.
Yeah.
And he did have a good game. Sure. Like, he did have three touchdowns.
He has played, I will say, even though it's been a really bad statistical season for him compared to his level, he has really kind of flipped it on the last several weeks. All right, let's go.
It's better than flipping it off.
That is true. Let's go from that.
Get it, Corey, with your fingers.
Mm-hmm. I saw somebody text this in, and Corey, if you want to respond any further, that would be great. I was just going to mention that Baker Mayfield got a lot of attention for making fun of Tommy DeVito's touchdown celebration.
That's what he does. He, when he's up, he makes a lot of fun of people. And when he's down, he's like, stop talking about me.
And I'm going to transfer.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he got to beat up on a very poor New York Giants football team.
That team sucks.
I'm not sure, like, is there a...
Cowboys are going
to
win that
game. Did DeVito do something to them? Did he beat them? Beat him recently, and that's why he was doing that. I'm not exactly certain what his specific. I didn't read about it either. So, but yeah, man, they did whatever they wanted yesterday. The Giants, who have a pretty good defense, their defense has been pretty good all season. Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers walked up and down the field constantly throughout that game yesterday, and that's what led Malik Nabers to be like, "We suck."
I mean, and there are multiple people on the team now that are like, I don't know if that was our best effort.
Yeah, and like, it was poor.
When you have, because I know people will blame the media about this and that, but when you have players openly discussing, I do not think that everyone gave it their all. And I'm not saying a player. There's at least four of them yesterday who were like, yeah, no, you could see people out there who did not give it their best effort. And that's hugely problematic.
They had four touchdown drives yesterday of 70, 82, 86, and 95 yards. That means that the defense on the other side was just like, I don't care. When it comes to third, I think they had, 11 third downs or something like that?
Wow.
And they still were just like going over it. They did whatever they wanted. They converted six of their first nine third downs. That's impressive, man.
Now, you talked about...
Go ahead. I am very interested to see, because the Buccaneers have had this up and down. Whenever Godwin went down and whenever Mike Evans went down was their down period. And when Mike Evans is on the field, Baker's a far better quarterback.
Sure.
Can Mike Evans stay healthy for the rest of the year? That hamstring, that's a tough thing to deal with, but he looked pretty good yesterday.
That is a good question. All right, you mentioned Gardner Minshew, the injury. He, in fact, broke his collarbone, so take a look for the Raiders to be involved in some of these discussions. And then Josh Jacobs scored not one, not two, but three touchdowns for the Packers in their 38-10 beatdown of the 49ers. Now, I realize Brock Purdy wasn't out there, but... Man, 49ers are not in a position where they can afford to just be dropping games, and they got friggin' throttled yesterday.
I'm with you, except around the NFL, they got a little bit lucky that Arizona...
Some of the other losses, yeah.
So I get Seattle had to win. Like, if Arizona wins, then it just pushes them a little bit further ahead, but yeah. With Seattle winning that game, yes, they're behind both of those teams, but
still by one game.
I'm assuming if you're a San Francisco fan, that was a good result in that Seattle-Arizona game?
Because Seattle and Arizona, both 6-5. The Rams and the 49ers, both 5-6. And so to your point, you're not down two games. Like, you're still sitting right there at one game behind. But it just, yeah. I have to
the
admit.
The NFC's horrible.
I like Brock Purdy, but I was surprised that they got thrashed that badly without him.
I'm not convinced on Brock Purdy being the guy.
Yeah.
I get he's a good quarterback. I'm like, does he fall into different types of quarterbacks? Does he fall into that Dak Prescott category where once you have him for a long time, you're going to like, crap, he's not good enough. He's not bad, but he's not good enough. But we decided to go with it because he's solid.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what they decide. But I think that a team like San Francisco, maybe this offseason – kind of looks at the quarterback landscape and goes, we're not going to give him $60 million a year.
Oh, interesting.
Now,
quarterbacks are expensive.
Yes.
Now.
And one of your guys, or I know he's kind of fallen out of favor, but Trevor Lawrence is expected back at practice today for the Jags for whatever that's worth.
I guess they can lose by 10 instead of 40.
There they go. That's the spirit. By the way, Dan Quinn, because we talked about this earlier, Dan Quinn did follow up and say he gave no thought to going for two after the McLaurin touchdown.
Again, wouldn't even expect him to,
yeah.
Honestly.
I'm with you on that. All right.
Would have kicked it off to Turpin. I wonder if they would have made the extra point if you would have stupidly kicked it to Turpin, which would have been great for Cowboy fans.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
And it's going to be lost. What a tough game, like a really tough game that Aubrey had the field goal blocked, missed another field goal, although I still think that was partly because of the protection. He fell short of the drop zone on one of the kickoffs and gave Washington the ball at the 40. It was a brutal special teams day.
I wonder how often he practices that drop zone kick.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no clue, but Bones, you created the rules. Have your guys prepped.
That being said,
they had two touchdowns on special teams. So
that's true. Now,
so do I know.
Yeah, so they had two touchdowns on special teams and also gave up a block field goal, a block punt, a short of the drop zone kick, and another missed field goal. So it's a lot. It was a lot. This is coming from Yahoo Sports. Do you put any legitimacy in the idea that Aaron Rodgers has resisted medical scans this season because he supposedly might be really hurt and he doesn't want to be taken off the field? And he thinks, so the idea is thrown out there that if he got these comprehensive scans per Rappaport and Yahoo Sports, they would see how bad he was off and they would take him off the field.
Man, I didn't even give any thought to that until just now. Wow. So he needs to get the scans, and he refuses to.
That is the line of thinking.
It's like giving him a COVID shot.
Okay, so I'm not going to touch that at all. But the idea is maybe this is accurate, or maybe people draw their own conclusions, right? Sometimes I think, hey, if we think you're in rough shape and we ask you to get a medical scan and you say no, then might a person just project that, ooh, Corey's in rough shape, that's why I didn't want to get the scan.
Yeah, if you get pulled over and we think you've been driving drunk and you refuse the breathalyzer, we probably assume, think that you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this could be one of those situations where maybe he really is banged up and that's why he doesn't want to have the scans, or maybe he's just like, no, I don't want to do that because I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm not going to.
I think it's more about him just being his ego guy. And just being like, well, okay, I do what I want to do around here.
I could see that.
I'm not gonna admit that I might be falling apart.
I'm really interested in the offseason with Aaron Rodgers if there's really another team that's going to give him a chance.
Sure.
Because I don't think there will be.
I'm with you. I'm fascinated that. Now, one more thing I want to throw out for you. Andy Reid, he became the third coach with 19 or more 10-win seasons. He's behind only two other coaches. Unfortunately, Tom Landry is not one of those coaches. Now, remember, they used to play fewer games at times during Landry's run.
Belichick.
Is Belichick
one of them?
Don Shula.
Don Shula is the other one. Andy Reid has won 10 or more games for 10 straight seasons, which is not even close to the record of Bill Belichick, who did it for 17 straight seasons.
That's pretty close.
Is it?
Yeah.
10 said, to 17?
Yeah, it's only seven off. He's closer than somebody who has one.
But you're only 10 away from zero.
He has a chance if he coaches for seven more years.
Hold on. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry.
He's closer to 17 than he is zero.
I have a bit of evidence that I want to present to crush Corey's argument, hopefully. Andy Reid is the same distance away from Bill Belichick as Mike McCarthy is from matching Andy Reid. He's got three straight.
Three straight.
Do you feel like it's close now?
No, I think that it's going to take a lot longer to get to 10.
We ain't getting anywhere.
It's still doable.
Technically. Did you not watch us play yesterday?
Yeah. No, I did.
He's got a valid point.
I did.
All you Cowboy fans, stand up and cheer. Let's go. He's not standing because he's a Steelers guy.
Yeah, you're a Steelers guy. Always have been.
What a beautifully done. No. I respect the art of the slow clap done correctly. And I feel like Corey stood up and slow clapped at exactly the right time. I do not want to infringe on that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk Mavs Heat plus the team meeting that might have turned some of this stuff around next on the Fan.
Burks going to one corner. Butler breaks free. Dunked it! He dunked it with 4.3 left to tie the game at 114.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We got a lot to talk about right here with the Heat game, the Nuggets game, the team meeting that happened after the Jazz meeting, the Jazz loss. The first thing I thought, though, I was disappointed because Lively, obviously, that wasn't his primary guy, but off the switch, he wasn't. It just looked like either A, he was a step behind, or B, he was always going to be a step behind, like matching up with Jimmy Butler. But Jimmy Butler got the inside track, and then Lively was on him really snug at the end of the play, and I was nervous that once he threw it down that they were going to blow the whistle, too.
I'm with you. I thought it was a foul, and luckily they didn't call it. But it just stinks when you do have miscommunication. I do want to do this, though. Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the NBA.
True.
And that out-of-bounds play worked to perfection.
It did.
And that's, I think, at times you can see what separates coaches at times. That situation down by two, unfortunately, Kyrie missed a free throw at the end. But that was a great play that he felt like his guys could execute and that it would work well against the Mavs. And he gets the pretty much uncontested dunk to tie the game.
Now, for people that miss your initial thoughts in crosstalk, I want to reset. Normally, this feels like a game that would really upset you.
Okay.
Because the Mavericks obviously gave it up at the very end. However, not that you don't care that they lost, but that does not seem to be the case.
I thought the Mavericks throughout the whole game gave great effort and energy. I've loved watching the last couple games, the Denver game and that Miami game. I know one ended up in a great win on Friday night. That one was a tough loss in overtime. But the guy's energy, the teamwork that they're playing with, the ball movement, the pace. There's times where you get frustrated with Jaden Hardy or, you know, a certain That's situation. True. And you're just like, what the crap is happening? Why are you doing this or not doing this? But I feel like right now I'm watching the Mavs play good team basketball. Yes, they would be better with Luka at times. But I think that these guys are coming together as a team, even though Luka's hurt. And it makes me wonder, because everybody's getting to touch the ball. Guys are getting to shoot the basketball. I'm just wondering, yes, you're not better with Luka not playing, but I think these guys might have a little bit more fun right now playing without Luka.
Okay, let's go off the assumption. Let's just say that's correct. We're just going to assume that that is the case. How does that get addressed when he comes back? I'm not saying it has to mean you change everything up, but don't you feel like it needs to at least be discussed for a second?
Yes, but I don't think it will be. I think Luka is set in his ways. I think that he is great. He's arguably the best offensive player in the game, but he has a way of, I'm going to control everything through me having the ball 80% of the time on offense. And I get it. It works. And late in games where you feel like the Mavs have struggled in the last few games, they held on against Denver. Last night, they struggled in overtime scoring the basketball. And you look at it and go, well, Luka would bail you out in these situations. And so I totally get the benefit of having a Luka on your team where things aren't working. Luka can just make something happen where it's tougher for a lot of the other guys in the NBA and on the Mavs to make it happen. But I don't want to take shots at Luka here. But I really have enjoyed the last few games watching the Mavs play. And I think at the end of the year, Miami's going to be in the playoffs and a solid team that is scary in the East. I don't think they're going to make the conference finals, but
they've
can
been
be
in the midst of their own struggles, to your point.
I love on the road how hard they've played, how much teamwork they're playing with, how hard they're trying defensively on possessions. I've loved all that, and I think it's going to be an unsuccessful hope. I would hope that when Luka comes back, the intensity on team defense and then the ball movement would continue with Luka on the team. I think that would be the best Maverick team in the history of their franchise if Luka came back and they played with the intensity they're playing with on defense and a similar style on offense, letting Luka, though, control it.
Now, Corey, what kind of takeaways did you have from the Nuggets game? Because this is a game that at halftime, it was over. It was 73-53. I know even in the modern NBA with the three-pointers, you can like close the gap pretty quickly. But it felt like this game was over. And then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, well, it's not over.
The referees hate the Mavericks is what I took away from that game.
That is true. Jokic only there's a reason why.
Jokic gets all the calls because did you see the video of him really giving the referees the shaft too?
Just for the record, I have seen Jokic bitch to some officials for sure.
I still love PJ Washington. In Luka's absence, PJ Washington has been very good.
And Najee too.
Yeah, Najee. I'm waiting for the moment, because there are moments, but I'm still waiting for those moments where I just slap my face whenever Najee has the ball and does something dumb. But he's making good plays.
73 times it felt like in the final 2 minutes of that one game.
He's also looking like perhaps a better scorer than I anticipated.
He might be able to. Going back to that Denver game, it's amazing to me just talking on Denver, how many people, whether it's the Mavericks telecast, whether it's a national telecast, praise Russell Westbrook and just talk about his energy and effort and there's nobody this and that. Yet, he's a main reason you lose in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Can they not accept this? I don't get this. It's like Joey Gallo. Nobody swings harder than Joey Gallo. Fine, he's going to strike out 300 times. I don't need that in the big situations. I cannot have Joey Gallo at the plate. It will 99% of the time end up in a strikeout in those situations. And I'm like, I get Russell Westbrook's playing his butt off for his whole career. The Mavericks decided to foul him after making 4 3-pointers, probably the most he's made in the last 10 years in one game. Yeah. It was like the purest, luckiest thing I've ever seen in my life with Russell Westbrook. They fouled him. He barely hit rim on the first free throw that he was supposed to make, and then he intentionally missed the second one. But it drives me insane at this point how, whether it's the Mavericks telecast or a national telecast, why are you guys going out of your way to praise a guy that nobody really wants? They're now, for the last 3 to 4 years, teams are taking him on close to league minimum deals. Yes, he plays with great effort, but he screws up so many late game situations and puts you in a very tough position because he can't shoot to save his life when it's going to count. And so I know that's off the topic, but I'm just like, what the crap is going on in this NBA world that we just say Russell Westbrook is the greatest? If he is, how come all 30 teams don't want him?
Kind of a Wade Phillips-esque thing right there.
Is Maxi getting phased out? And he's only playing because Dwight Powell got phased out.
But I think the deal with that is, I think Maxi's always going to get, not always, but usually going to get a little bit of a run. But I think he's going to be breaking case of injury to other, because they're going to have to, Maxi is what Dwight Powell was, maybe, in terms of I need this amount of minutes from this amount of a big person, especially in case of injury. Does that seem perhaps what's happening?
The last 63 minutes, he has 6 points, 14 personal fouls, and 15 rebounds. That's 5 games right there. And I just feel like it is a Dwight Powell kind of, you're there and we need you.
Yeah.
Well, he's been hurt his whole career. And I think that as he's now gotten older, all those injuries have piled up on him. And so he's not as athletic now. He could he's coming back from injury. Guess what? By the time he gets healthy, he's going to be hurt again. That's his whole life in the NBA. But I don't mind him giving him 10 to 15 minutes. You know, the thing that probably I think even bugs his teammates is, if we pass the ball to you and you're wide open and you don't shoot it, you F over the four of us that are with you on the court. You're the one they're leaving wide open. You have to shoot that. If you don't, and then you pass it to a dude who's totally covered, now we're down to 8 seconds on the shot clock, and now we have to reset the whole offense because you refuse to shoot the ball. And I get it. He's not a good – he's never been a shooter. He's worked his butt off to just be okay at it. But I don't mind him playing 10 to 12 minutes because, in a way, he does give the effort and energy that Russell Westbrook gives. I just wish everybody would just say he's Russell Westbrook then.
From the 575, because I want to go back to the Denver game for a couple of things. From the 575, I was at the game Friday, and even my wife noticed Jokic cries just as much as Luka. I want to point this out because I've felt this way for a long time. It's only crying until you win. Because, look, Michael Jordan, Tim Duncan, I think both of them complained probably just as much as anybody. And Jokic complains, but they won championships. They won MVPs. And people are like, that's just competitive.
Michael Jordan complained a lot quieter too, though.
Can I ask you this off of Jokic? Yes, complaining. I get the whole. It drives me insane watching high school basketball now because during free throws, all the kids now go talk to the referee.
But Jokic doesn't quit plays.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Is who in the NBA besides Luka will refuse to get back on defense, quit playing defense?
I'm with you.
Just he totally quits the game to have a conversation with the ref. You're like, we're still playing. We're trying to stop the other team. Jokic should have got a technical. I think it was a good job by the ref to not do it that late in the game.
I think that's
fair. But when did Jokic go crazy? He went crazy dead ball.
Yeah.
Luka can't. He's not mature enough.
He won't come back up
to
court.
Wait until there's a dead ball where it won't affect the team.
And props to seeing this coaching go into action. 2 weeks ago, Jason Kidd dropped the F word 4 times after a 1-point loss to Denver. And he said, our bench stinks right now. We got to get someone to effing participate off the bench. In the game against Denver, 57 points off the bench, obviously led by the 26 points from Najee. Now, maybe it'll be today, maybe it'll end up being tomorrow, but I do want to dive into an article written by Mike Curtis talking about a Mavericks team meeting and how it might have led to some of these changes that we've seen. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, plus the people demanded it, Corey. They need their high school playoff updates. If you want to talk about your team winning or losing this weekend, we'll get into that as well next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's it going?
Now, it's pretty good. It feels like people have oddly divided into two camps, which I feel like there's a whole lot of ground in between.
Let's go win the Super Bowl.
Yes, the camp of this is the beginning of your 7-game win streak. You're in the playoffs, and then we're going to be rolling. Or the camp of you just screwed our opportunity to get a top three or top five pick. It feels like there's a whole lot of room in between those two opinions,
well,
right?
Well, go tell the latter people to go stick their head in the mud.
Sean Sharif.
All right.
He's talking to you.
Well, I don't know who said what, but why would you say something like that? You know, go in the locker room right today and go tell Kevontae Turpin, Wanye Thomas, and Josh Butler that we don't want you to try hard and win.
Yeah.
Just go tell them. Because you know what? It wasn't CeeDee Lamb in the locker room I just left. It wasn't Dak Prescott. It wasn't Ezekiel Elliott. It wasn't Trayvon Diggs. It was Wanye Thomas, Kevontae Turpin, and Josh Butler holding court, by the way, on his birthday.
Oh,
how about that?
Happy birthday to him. He's got the same birthday as my dad.
How about that?
That's nice.
Have dad ever had 12 tackles and 3 passes broken up in one game?
Brian Adams High School, baby.
I heard he didn't even score touchdowns in a game.
You know what was interesting? He didn't even realize what he had done until after the game, and somebody told him, do you know you had 12 tackles and 3 passes broken up?
And that's going, what you want, right?
Right. I was just out there playing. Yeah. They thought they didn't want to pick on Bland, so they picked on some guy they never heard of, right?
And yes,
he steps up and plays, and that's the beauty of yesterday. If you look at it, I think I figured out that there are top five players paid for this year, and had 47 years of experience did not play in that game. Think about it.
Wow,
Dak, DeMarcus Lawrence.
Diggs,
Zach Martin, and who else? And then Brandon Cooks. None of them played,
man,
and they won.
Okay, now they won, and you're right. I will admit, after the Schoonmaker touchdown, I thought the game was over. After the Kevontae Turpin touchdown, I definitely thought the game was over. So much so that after Wanye Thomas scored, I was like, you really should have just gone down there, buddy. Because I feared that Washington was going to score another miracle touchdown and a 2-point conversion and send it to overtime.
And they had an opportunity to do that, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, and I'm sure everybody on the sideline was thinking, go down, go down, go down, right? Yeah. I even said it. I go down. You know, the game will be over. And, he had, and I understand scoring the touchdown, but you're only up eight points, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we saw what they did against the Bears. Think about it. They didn't get that tipped Hail Mary touchdown with no time left on the clock. They're a 6-6 team. And everybody that's been out there, wow, the Commanders have figured this out. They know how to run an organization. They know how to win. They got this whole thing figured out. Well, okay, we'll see.
Score one for Daniel Snyder.
What did you think though about Rico Dowdle's performance yesterday?
Yeah, I thought he ran with his hair on fire. The unfortunate thing, that was the first time he lost a fumble all year.
Yeah, that was.
But other than that, I mean, he was balling in there, and there was a lot of times there wasn't a lot of room to roam in that running game, but he was, just kind of persisting, keeping his legs going, and without the, a tush push going on from behind, by the way. I thought his performance, and I guarantee you, I know CeeDee Lamb. I mean, he had 10 catches, but I think it was, what, 67 yards?
Yeah.
Something like that was the hardest 67 yards I've seen a man gain, just because he was catching the ball in traffic and trying his darndest to be able to, you know, gain another yard or two or get to the first down line. I thought that was rather remarkable. And
was the most impressive part about that? I mean, there's a lot of good stuff, but it was the cutback on the pass that he saw wasn't going to go where he needed it to go, and he kind of cut back between two defenders to catch a pass that I thought that football IQ there was just phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah, that one, and I think what the timing pass that rushed through. When he threw the ball, I thought it was intercepted, because I said, well, who's he throwing it to? There's two D, you know, defensive guys there. And here comes CD running his route and runs right into the ball.
That was amazing.
Yeah, there was a lot of amazing things from people. I guarantee you people didn't know their names, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at one point on the offensive line, you had three backups and a rookie center.
Yeah, Brock Hoffman and TJ Bass weren't terrible yesterday.
No, I mean, and, you know, they, I mean, and
they were pretty good, actually.
Brock Hoffman lived up to his reputation
yeah.
being an S-talker.
And you know what? And he should have incurred a personal foul. I can't remember on who it was. It might have been Daron Payne. I don't remember, because they got into it and the guy took a swing at him. And yeah. the official was standing right there and just like, no big deal.
I like that. Those are yeah. my favorite moments.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? The guy just swung at him. I've seen a lot of football games. I don't think I've ever seen one like that.
Not that kind of ending. Actually,
it was 3-3 at halftime.
I've seen some pretty crappy middle parts of the game like this with the Cowboys, but that ending was unbelievable.
Well, understand what they were doing, the guys that were missing, right?
Oh, yeah. No,
that,
I get
that. That's what made it to me, you know, something really special. And McCarthy told them before the game, this is not about who we don't have playing, it's about who we do have playing. And these guys took the opportunity, and that's what, you know, Josh Butler just got done saying. And when I asked him that question, I said, did you guys realize how many guys were missing? He goes, yeah, but, you know, I come in here every day trying to win. I come in here every day looking for an opportunity, and when I get an opportunity, he goes, I got to take advantage of it, because I don't get that many. I mean, this guy was out of football
yeah.
for 3 years yeah. before he ends up with the Michigan Panthers, by God. And you know, and he's on the practice squad till they ran out of corners and they signed him to the 53. And there he goes and plays a game like that. And, you know, pretty remarkable when I saw the stat that the Cowboys never had a undrafted free agent with three passes broken up since 1994.
That's very impressive.
I mean, you know, think about it. And just the things that, you know, I mean, we could do a whole show on Turpin, right?
That's the weirdest play.
Bumbling the kickoff.
And then the amazing spin move.
Yeah. And then he gets in the open field, and it's like as soon as he spun, and I think he ran 5 yards or 10 yards at the most, I said, he's gone. They're not going to catch him. And
they didn't.
And they sure didn't. And he's funny because, you know, he ended up realizing that he was having trouble reading and seeing distance. Aww. And he got glasses this year.
Oh.
Right? And it's like, I could see the football. He goes, but if I look across the room here at the other lockers, with the names on top, he goes, if I don't have my glasses, I can't read it. It's fuzzy. And he goes, I used to have trouble watching film because it was always fuzzy. And it's like, but you could see the ball? And he goes, oh, yeah, I no problem that. And I asked him, I said, can you see the end zone? He goes, always. He's quite a
just
character.
Like Juan,
but people are starting to, you know, who these guys are. And that's the, you know, I mean, that's what they got to bank on. It's about playing. You know, everybody keeps saying, when are you going to play the young guys? This season's over. Well, they're playing already.
Yeah.
And you just saw them play on Sunday afternoon, and a bunch of them made a name for themselves.
heading forward.
Yes.
Do you expect all those other guys that were out to be back, or like Diggs and everything?
Boy, it's a short week, isn't it?
Yeah. I was just wondering if that was kind of the
idea. I don't understand the Diggs thing.
Yeah, what happened?
I think
he was questionable.
He's saying he's nursing a groin?
Well, I don't know what he's nursing, but even if you're questionable, you go to the game, right?
Get out there.
And he didn't even travel with the team. Mm. So, I don't know. Keep an eye on that one.
All right, that's what we'll do.
Oh, man.
But I'm just saying, you know, okay, they only got, yeah, you know, the guys that couldn't play, now you got, what, 3 days left before another game?
Yeah.
Or in between. I don't know how quickly you recover, I was figuring it would take an act of God to keep Zach Martin out. And so, you know, he was finally, I think they decided, okay, we need to give him a break, right?
Yeah.
And then Tyler Smith, you know, he's another one. I bet you had to put a seatbelt on him to not let him make the trip.
Galen Carson.
And then Carson too, yeah. But he was,
well, because his nickname is Seatbelt.
He was in, yeah. Good, I got you. I was a little slow on the draw there. He was one of the out guys, I guess. And it just on and on and on. Guys that were missing, and you're going, well, this is like, you know, this ain't gonna work out. I'm watching warm ups and realizing who's gonna play, and it's like, well, there's no way. Well, you know, If they don't hit that big pass play, you would sit here and go, boy, that defense really played well.
And I still think
and
that.
And they still
did,
right?
You're right, yeah.
I mean, I know, what was it? I don't know. Was it 80 yard? Whatever it was.
86.
86, yeah. I don't want to cheat them.
And it's a great wide receiver, so it happens sometimes.
But, you know, and it just, yeah, it's somebody told me the end of this game looked like a high school game. That, you know, so many things break down and you have big plays.
Plano East,
Plano
Tyler,
East,
John
Tyler,
Tyler,
John Tyler is exactly the game that I was thinking about,
I think,
Mick.
I'm going to be sick.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it was remarkable that the guys, they got to step. I mean, didn't Mingo catch a pass?
He did. Yep. I thought that catch was pretty damn good.
Yeah,
Schoonmaker was good.
Except for blocking.
Yeah, but he still caught his first touchdown pass of his career.
That he did.
You know, and you know, they just had so many different guys, you know, out there that you might not have known they were even on the team. I mean, how many people know, you know, Brock Hoffman was still here after he got beat out for the center job, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and they and you know, at the one point that, you know, they had Austin Richards playing left tackle. Which I thought they should have kept playing him at left tackle.
That didn't feel like an injury switch out this time.
He was there on the big touchdown.
I think their plan was to give him some reps at left tackle. And I don't know about the one holding call that Guyton got, but, you know, it's like at some point when you block the guy, block him, let him go. Don't go to the ground with him, you know, because that's what they're going to see, and here comes the flag, right? And then the fact that he wasn't lining up on the line of scrimmage or even close to the line of scrimmage.
That was pretty bad. When they showed the replay, I was like, oh.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Off. I said, oh, that's a ticky-tack. And then I saw the replay, and it's like his head wasn't hitting even the center's butt, and it's supposed to cross the middle of his body. So, yeah. But anyway, you know, okay, now you know Awesome Richards is on this team, and it was, and we should not diminish what Cooper Rush did too, by the way. I thought that was he completed 75% of his passes.
And he got rid of the ball fast.
And he knew he needed to, right? Yes. I mean, that had to be the game plan.
Agreed.
Because they were, you know, chopping away. And as a matter of fact, I say stuff to myself during the game in the press box, and when they got to the 22-yard line and they were driving, I'm going, throw the ball to the end zone, and there comes Schoonmaker all by himself. He was pretty funny afterwards when I asked him. I said, did you realize you were that wide open? And he goes, wow. Just like, you know, I guess I'm sure it was a busted coverage, right? Because all he did was run down the hash marks, and no one covered him when he got to the end zone. But again, guys like that stepped up and played. And that's why I think watching games like that, it just kind of, you know, you feel good for those guys, you know. And even
Mick,
had
Mick,
they
I'm
lost,
sorry, we got to go to break or else my bosses will get really upset with me. But
you don't want me to keep going,
no,
right?
No, I'm fine with it, but we need money with commercials and everything like that. We will pick this conversation up with you tomorrow, I promise.
Well, it's a good thing because I've got 2 minutes to get to my podcast.
There
you
go.
You go do it.
Thanks,
thank
Mick.
You very much.
All right, see you guys.
Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. He's ready for that podcast. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to switch things up again today. Stephen Jones is going to be closer to 12:30. So, coming up next, Dallas Cowboys, thank you, Notes, and Cowboys fans. Were you kind of rooting for or against Dallas yesterday? I won't yell at you like Sean. Corey might, next on The Fan.